Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about my favorite nutrition program, Champion Athletes. As an athlete, whether at the middle school, high school, collegiate, or professional level, you have special nutritional needs, and these vary depending on your sport and energy requirements. Nutrition and ideal body composition play an essential role in achieving your performance goals and maximizing your success. At Champion Athletes, certified experts in sports nutrition develop individualized plans for the student, amateur, and professional athlete. Their sports nutrition programs will optimize your diet and nutrition so that you can achieve your ideal body composition and maximize your performance. Here's what I love. Each program is tailored to meet your specific needs through a comprehensive assessment, continuous reevaluation, and one-on-one coaching. So whether you're just starting out, maybe you're an amateur athlete, or you have elite status, the Champion Athlete Sports Nutrition Programs will help you reach your maximum potential. Programs are available nationwide. And for us, if you are a listener of Coach P's Perspective, you'll receive a $50 discount for the initial program if you use the code COACHP. Their website is champions-athletes.com. So be sure to check out the website. You can also look at their Instagram page, which is at championathletes. I'll have those links in the show notes. Go check out my friends at Champion Athletes to get your nutrition right, to reach your maximum potential and performance. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I am pumped. Today I have on Nick Bonacore, who is the founder of the Reform Sports Project. I think at one time that was Parent in Place of Project. And if you don't know who he is, you have probably, if you're on social media at all, especially Facebook for all of us adults, you have probably shared one of his quotes. You probably shared one of his messages, especially if you are a coach or in the sports world. He has 92,000 followers on their Facebook page. Nick was a college athlete. He is a man on a mission. I've been following him for a long time. So Nick, thanks for being on, man.
Coach, I appreciate, man. I'm honored to be on, man. And we connected a couple of years ago, so it's great to reconnect. And I can't thank you enough for the work you're doing and for allowing me the platform to be a part of it, man. It's humbling.
Yeah. Thanks for being on. And then you also have a podcast that goes along with your Reform Sports Project. So I'm going to get into all that later, but let's just do this for for the audience. Tell me about where you grew up at, man. You know, where you grew up and then maybe how you got into sports.
All right. So I live right now in Wilmington, North Carolina, but I grew up in the Northeast. I grew up in Waterbury, Connecticut, which is like a blue collar inner city in the state of Connecticut. It is, it's a good place. And quite frankly, I got into sports because that was the way it was for my family. I have two older brothers. One is 8 years older than me. One is 6 years older than me. They were both football, baseball players. Actually, my oldest brother wrestled for a couple of years, but then he would have stayed in it, but he wanted to become a big old linebacker and he wanted to eat as much as he could and put on as much weight as he could. So he's like, I don't want to have to balance the two of them. But, I was the little kid at my brother's football games and baseball games, running around the sidelines, playing touch football, having wiffle ball bats. I was that little rug rat on the sidelines, man, being the ball boy. So, I mean, from a very young age, sports was, you know, it was known in my family. From my parents are, God bless them. My dad passed away about 8 years ago. My mom, same thing. I mean, listen, they use sports as a way for us to stay on the straight and narrow. You know, to say that sports was the most important thing in my family was being an understatement. it was, you know, go to school, do well, be respectful. You're going to do okay. You're going to pass your classes and all that, but we're going to get after it on the athletic fields. I'm grateful for that. It definitely got me and my brothers through college and got us degrees. So, you know, I ended up gravitating. I was a multi-sport athlete growing up, you know, primarily football and baseball. I played basketball, like CYO, kind of like recreation. I love playing hoops. I love playing in the parks. But I just wasn't good enough. I didn't really take it that seriously, but I really enjoyed it. It's actually the most fun sport for me to play, just as, you know, in free time. But I was able to play in college. I played at North Carolina Wesleyan College. We won the Division III 1999 national championship. We had some unbelievable memories. Went to two College World Series. Had a great experience. And I was fortunate enough to go play pro ball for a year. I got to play in Italy. You know, and then when I was in Italy, I actually had a good year. But I realized, man, it wasn't my passion. You know, what I realized when I got to that level, quite frankly, was that I knew that I could – everyone at that level, as you well know, doesn't matter the sport, has a ton of skills. What I noticed the biggest separator was the way the ball flew off guys' bats, the way the ball came out of their hands, and that was because they were getting after it in the weight room. And then they, you know, the best guys at the highest levels are not just doing the skill-specific stuff. They are – living the lifestyle all the time. And for me, man, that's kind of where I realized I do not love the gym. I do things now to stay healthy, but back then I was like, man, I do not want to go to the gym, put on 25 pounds. Like, I just don't want to do that. And that's the only way I would even have a shot of progressing at that level. But anyway, I owe everything I have in my life, all my friendships, relationships to athletics. I learned more life lessons. It got me, like I said, a college degree. And to bring it full circle on Reform Sports, which was apparent. Now, project was, you know, I have six kids. So my kids are involved in all different sports. And, you know, I just saw, you know, as a coach, as a youth coach, I started to see the culture. And it, obviously things change, things get different. But I just started hearing and seeing things several years ago, you know, that really kind of were like bizarre, you know, talking about college scholarships at 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old games and early specialization, you know, just things that I was like, man, this doesn't make any sense. A lot of intensity and pressure at very, very, very young ages where I'm like, man, it's just once I started seeing it and I noticed myself kind of getting sucked into it for a brief moment, it was almost like I couldn't turn it off. Like once you see something, you can't turn it off. And I just felt like I felt moved. If anyone's ever been through this, and I'll shut up here in a minute, they'll understand. I felt moved enough to say something about it. And try to leverage every relationship I have in athletics to make the point what I believed in my heart of hearts was the right information. And, you know, here we are today. You know, now we have, like you mentioned, the podcast launched, have, you know, well over all across social media platforms, 120,000 followers and a partnership with a sports marketing firm. And hopefully we can continue to grow and you know, make a positive impact on the culture of youth sports today.
Yeah, it's first off, it's awesome. You get to play baseball at that level. And like you said, man, I mean, it's so fun growing up. Sports are so fun growing up. And then whenever you get to a certain level, then it really does become a lifestyle, you know. And we talk about that. Even to my high school athletes, I talk about that. Hey, everybody's kind of doing the same stuff these days, right? I mean, we're lifting weights every single day. We're wrestling. We're doing all these things. But we only have you a couple hours a day. Outside of that, it's lifestyle versus lifestyle. So the way you eat, the way you sleep, the way you take care of yourself, you know, all these things. And then that just increases as you become better and better and going to college and pros and things like that. So I don't want to let this pass by. You have six kids. I have four kids. I fully understand the busy and crazy family. Six kids, that is a lot of children, man. So I know with four, like sometimes we're like, holy moly, my wife and I. So I can't even imagine adding two more to the mix. So props.
It's insanity. I'm very lucky to have, you know, my older kids are 16, 15, 14. And my younger is 7, 3.5, almost 5 and 3.5. And my younger kids, I mean, my older kids help out a lot. So they're like borderline an extension of us. So it really helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So jumping into, you know, Reform Sports Project, and you kind of went, you know, where your passion is and the basis for it. For me, whenever I've kind of looked, okay, this doesn't always apply. It applies sometimes. So first off, youth sports are nuts. All of my children, they all do sports. So my oldest is 15. She played high school volleyball this year. She does club volleyball. She played soccer for a long time. My boys, they're little, and they do flag football, soccer, which crosses over sometimes. So you're going like one practice this night, one practice that night. Youngest one plays baseball. Oldest played baseball for a little bit. So I understand, like, you're all over the place, and you could easily get sucked into it. So I feel like a lot of times in my experience watching, especially when I watch like youth wrestling, right? I've seen this. I've been coaching now for 20 years. People that competed at a high level often understand, like, hey, let's let the kids have fun. Let's let them relax. Eventually, and this is kind of my own thought process. Eventually, if they decide they really want to do this and love it, it gets serious pretty quick. Right now, while they're little, man, let's just let them do a lot of sports and let's just have fun. But I do know some people that played at very high levels that are like nuts with it, right? I mean, they got their 8-year-old, let's just say playing baseball, and the kid's going to baseball practice, and then he has a private pitching coach, and he has a private batting coach, kid's going until 9:30 at night. And I'm like, dude, they're 8. Like, you don't even know, like, this kid wants to get up and eat, M&M's for breakfast in the morning if you would let him. He's not going to make the best decisions on his own. So you're the one putting him in all these things. He's 8. Like, he's going to get, who knows if he wants to do the sport next year. He's got to find more baseball bat. Why? He may not want to do this next year. So it gets crazy real quick. All right. So tell me about whenever you decided to make that move, to do something about it, because you saw all the madness in youth sports. And there's some great things in youth sports, right? But what was your first move and how did you get this thing rolling?
So I went through, I have 6 kids, but we're a blended family, right? But that all ties in. I got divorced like 7 years ago. I'm now remarried. 7 years ago. And my oldest son, Avery, is actually my wife's biological nephew. Okay. He's now my adopted son. Is my son, my wife adopted him when she was like 26. He has a pretty interesting story. He's doing amazing. So this all ties in. So I got divorced and my other two oldest, so my Avery's my 16-year-old and 14 Morgan and Tyler and Morgan are from my previous. We're all, and then I have a 7-year-old who's from my previous, and then our youngest two are from my wife, my current wife and I. Why is that tie in? Because when you went through a divorce, it was very humbling. It was like, man, it was just, you can't help. I don't know. Maybe anyone out there who's been through it, I was forced to reflect a little bit on my own actions, my own behavior. And it just makes you look, get you in a place where you're just like, man, it's not the most pleasant experience in the world. And sports being a big part of my life was, it's something. I was coaching at the time and it kind of put me in a position where I had to look at everything from a monetary standpoint. Had to make some decisions on what we could and couldn't do going forward, at least, for the time being. And what it made me realize, I started getting a little bit over, like you were just describing the dude that you were saying, whose 8-year-old kid driving around, man, it's so easy. And for me, what I started thinking about when I was going through that process of separation and divorce, I'm like, man, I'm projecting my own ego onto my kids at times, like their performance or lack thereof impacts my own self-worth amongst my parent peers. And like, it's kind of like when I thought that at first, I'm like, damn, that's kind of embarrassing. Like and then I think back on some circumstances where I remember like my son, Tyler, God bless him, he might not have done well at a baseball game. And I remember being like borderline disappointed in him. Here he is like 8 years old striking out. And I'm like, darn it. Like, he don't care. But like for me, and why is that? If I'm being honest, because my ego was involved. I wanted to be the kid that other parents like, God, your kid's a stud, whatever. And then that was the time that kind of made me reflect. And then from there, that was the point where I was like, man, I just started seeing it. I started seeing it everywhere. Like, I'm not the only person like this. And I'd like to think I was only like that for about a year or so, maybe not even that much. And I wasn't even that overboard, comparatively speaking, to some. And then quite frankly, coach, my current wife, Amy, and I, we were, coming together as a family, and we were looking for a way for my son, Avery, who's going to wrestle in college. He has an offer and he's, I think he's going to commit here soon, to a nice, to a little D2 school. And he was a smaller kid, extremely aggressive, extremely explosive. Like, he was the kid in Pop Warner football, the smallest kid on the team, like, but he played linebacker or defensive line. Like, he was the smallest kid in the D-line, and he would explode in the backfield and blow people up because he was so small, but he was just so explosive and strong. And my God, we got to get this kid into something where he can, his athletic ability can be on display. And I'm talking to a few friends, and we decided, like, I think wrestling, I never wrestled a day in my life, dude. I'd never been around it. I'm always a fan of any athletics, all athletics, but I was like, man, let's throw him in. My son Tyler in the wrestling room in between football and baseball seasons, because I know it'll make them better. Like, that's what I looked at it as. This is a way to separate themselves in other sports.
Yeah.
And man, it was like my son Avery in particular. It was like dropping him into, it was like a fish and you drop them in the water. I mean, all of it. He no longer had to worry about him being small, right? That was no longer an issue because you wrestle at your weight class. All of his athleticism, his skills were on display. He was finally getting like that recognition, like of having success. And he's also one of those kids who, I'm not like this. My son Tyler, who also wrestles, is not like this. My son Avery is a little, wrestlers are a little bit different. He's one of those kids that feels like discomfort and training and pain mentally and physically, and like works through it, where I'm like, oh, I need a break. He's like, and I've noticed that as a characteristic of high, of successful wrestlers, man, they kind of like that pain, that he's one of those, and I never taught him it. It just kind of came to him. So from the sport of wrestling, I started seeing, like, number as a parent, I was like, dude, this is unbelievable, because I can't hear parents complaining about the umpires. I can't hear parents complaining about blaming the ball. Why is my kid not playing right field? Or why is he playing right field? Why is he not playing shortstop? Like, it was the first time I was at a sport watching my kids thinking, like, dude, there's no one to blame but the out. Like, if you want to know how to get better, watch your film and look what you did wrong. You either won, you lost, you either performed, you didn't. You can't really blame anybody else. Like, it's, there's so much accountability in the sport. I immediately fell in love with it and was like, and number one, number two, I knew nothing about it. So I could just be a fan. I was so used to having my kids involved in sports that, like, I had played in. So I would like break down their at-bats, or like, hey, you know, you didn't cut on the football field. You should have done this, that, and the other. Wrestling, I say ignorance is bliss. I love it so much because I still borderline don't know what the hell I'm watching, but I enjoy the competition. I enjoy everything about it. And it made me realize, like, maybe I'm supposed to just be a fan and watching my kids enjoy the sport and support them. Maybe I'm not supposed to be all up in their business and trying to correct them and make them better, right? Dad first, right? So all these, I might be making this a long-winded answer, but all these little steps from the divorce to looking at myself to introducing my kids to a sport I never knew, wrestling, opened up so many things in me. I'm like, wow, this is the way the youth sports experience should be. Introduce your kids to a wide variety of things. You never know when they're going to find their passion. And now my son, Tyler, who's a sophomore, and now their team, Laney High School here, they won the team state championship. There's a very good program here in North Carolina North Carolina. It's not Pennsylvania, you know, that type of stuff. But they're a very good program. My son, Tyler, he loves being a part of. He has no desire to be a college athlete. He loves to compete, but like that's all he wants to do is be a high school athlete, be on the team, have fun. He likes to work a little bit, but he's not like my older son, Avery. So like, it took me a while to realize, like, everyone's different. Everyone's sport experience is going to be different. Not everyone aspires to be an Olympian or a college athlete or an All-American. Some kids, it's just keeping them involved, keeping them instructor. Now, doesn't mean that I can't make sure they're not putting forth effort and staying on time and doing those things, but I have to let them walk their own path, right? The desire and the passion will either come out of it or not, but I think having a diverse palette, a buffet of sports sampling, will give kids, or anything, right? The more things they will give them more opportunity to find their passion and give them, I think, the ability to try new things as they get older.
Yeah, no, there was a lot of really good in there. A lot of really good in there. You just said, thinking about one of the things you said really kind of jumped out at me, because I know it as a dad and even as a coach. So when I very first started coaching, I had just come out of college. I'd been wrestling in college at a high level, and I coached in college, came down, started coaching high school wrestling. And I remember And I was hardcore, man. We're in there running practices like Iowa, you know, with high school kids. So I remember a couple of kids in there, you know, like just they didn't have work ethic. And I remember being so frustrated. And a couple of kids, I'm like, do they even want to win? And in my mind, I'm like, I don't even, why are they even out for wrestling? Like,
yeah.
And they didn't, right? They didn't care. And it hit me, thankfully, that a couple of these kids just want to be on the team. They just want to be part of something. They just want, like, their buddies are out for wrestling, so they just want to be out for wrestling.
And here we are, not to interrupt you. Here we are, here we are as adults at times saying kids need to get off the couch and stop playing video games, but then we get mad if they just want to be a part of something, right? So I don't mean to interrupt 100%. You, but just to get that point.
Yeah, no, 100%. So thankfully I had that realization. I think it was my first or second year of coaching as a head coach. And I just realized, like, hey, this kid wants to be a part of something, wants to be around his buddies. At least he's not out running the streets. At least he's not just playing video games. And so my mindset had to shift even as a coach to realize, like, not everybody in here wants to be a state champion. Not everybody here even wants to be varsity, you know, which is okay. And so it changed me as a coach. And I think I became a much better coach because of it. Now, having children of my own, my oldest daughter, volleyball is her main sport, but she played soccer for a lot of years, which was beautiful because, like you with wrestling, I knew nothing about soccer. I grew up in a small town Oklahoma where football is king, and we never even knew the word soccer. So when she started playing soccer, I'm just on the sidelines watching. Like, I don't even know what these kids are doing. They're just running around kicking a ball and chasing a ball. So I got to be that dad who just sat back and had fun. And even as she started to advance and get on travel teams, I was like, I still don't know what's going on. So I'm just going to watch cheer. And to this day, like any of those sports, my wife is a high school volleyball coach and she actually, you know, got to coach my daughter this year. And, but I just get to sit back and be dad. I don't even say a word on the sidelines, you know, like every now and then, like, hey, good, you know, good job, whatever, like to the team, don't even say a word. And then you get to hear parents on the opposite end of the spectrum that are going crazy. Now I will say my boys, I'm just getting ready to start them in wrestling. So what's that journey going to be like for me as a wrestling guy who's wrestled my entire life and as the head coach? I'm going to have to, can I take that same mindset and just be dad and help them? Because I know this much as a coach. It is so beautiful when a kid makes it their journey. When I see my wrestlers that come out because their friends wrestle or come out because mom and dad want them to wrestle and they've always been forced to wrestle, when all of a sudden, and coaches and we're pushing them, when they just like make it their journey, And they buy in, and all of a sudden they're doing extra before practice and after practice, they're asking questions, they're doing all these things, they're in the weight room. It's great to watch. Sometimes at that point, I got to pull them back more than I got to push them, you know?
Sure.
So I know as a parent, we got to do the same thing. All right. So jumping back over to, you know, you had this, all these reasonings and then you started. Tell me how you started, because I know you've interviewed like thousands of people now, you know, I don't know how many, it's been a lot. So tell me how you started and why did you start interviewing people? Were you trying to educate yourself? Like, how did that even jump off?
So I'm just going to shoot from the hip with you, man. I wasn't even really on social media. Like before I got divorced, I wasn't on social media. And then part of me going on social media initially was like, I need to just kind of re-enter the world. Like I was, it's a very difficult thing to go through with your family and I was like, all right, I'm just going to put myself back out there and just, you know, whatever. Get over these insecurities I had, you know, the change and the thinking that people really care. Like, anyway, this is all these weird things you go through. At least I did when I was getting divorced. So I got on social media, Facebook initially, and then that's all I was on. And then when reason I started interviewing people was because when I had this thought come into my head, like something's not right, I'm going to start. I felt moved. And if I'm being honest with you, I started seeing all these little ads on Facebook. So I guess whoever you're friends with or whatever you search, you start getting all these ads on your Facebook feed. So I would get like all these freaking ads for like these baseball gadgets, like $200 for this, $150 for this. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like this is why this crap. And it, all these things were like, God, this is a racket. Like they're charging all this stuff. And then I start people I'm following, you know, here in town and I don't care, but I'm not going to say their names, but like, you know, they're posting all this stuff and buying their kids this and spending and bragging about it. And I'm like, like what do you think that really makes your kid better? Like I would, and I wasn't going to say that, but then, so I had all these things going through mind and I was thinking, no one gives a crap what Nick Bonacore thinks. Like I'm a D3 national champion. I'm great in my eyes, right? When I look through my scrapbook late at night, if I ever do that once a decade, I think I'm coolest, but no one cares what I say. But then, you know, I was fortunate along my journey, probably like you, to play with some really amazing talents, guys that went to the big leagues, coaches that are at the highest levels. And, you know, you foster those relationships for years. And I started calling guys. Like one example would be Mike Fox, who was the longtime head baseball coach, University of North Carolina. My freshman year at North Carolina Wesleyan, he was our head coach. Then he got the job at Carolina. You know, he's one of the winningest coaches in the history of Division I baseball. And he just retired a year and a half ago. And I remember reaching out to coach, telling him how I felt. And he was like, Nick, I see it every day. I've been seeing it every day for 20 years. You know, it's insane. It all starts at the youth level. And every time I would talk to someone, tell them how I felt, and then they reiterated that they've been seeing it, I was almost like the boiling of the water started going up. Like, oh my God, now I had this feeling. Now it's validated by guys at the highest level. Well, forget it. So I was like, no one cares what I have to say, but I'm going to get everybody in the country to say what I know is the damn truth. And then it's going to mean something. So that was kind of my mission. Like I'm going to get, and then it just kind of took off. Like there was a few key interviews along the way that opened the floodgates to, you know, I have a business background with marketing and sales. So it's like you leverage relationships in a positive way, right? So, hey, you know, if I interview you and we have a great interview, hey, do you mind if you introduce me to so-and-so? And, you know, I think I've read an article where they spoke on this and they say, oh yeah, Nick, no problem. And it just multiplied. And then COVID kicked in, man. And then people were home and I was literally doing 4, 5, 6 interviews a day. And people would always say like, when are you going to release them? And I'm like, dude, I don't know how to release them, but when I figure it out, I'm going to have it all. So I was just stockpiling and working on getting a partnership with, now it's Octagon Olympics and Action Sports. And, you know, now they just went through and they're like, hey, let's just start releasing these things. And we're going to try to build a platform. And so I have all these, like, I don't even know, like 150, 200 hours of these recorded conversations. And it just came from the passion. And what I learned was my thoughts were validated by those at the highest level. And the information wasn't out there. Like people weren't out there conveying it that much. There were a couple of folks, John O'Sullivan from Changing the Game Project comes to mind first. He's been doing it for a long time, just the same type of message. He has more of a soccer background. But the point is, there were a couple folks I found out there who were in the space. I wasn't the originator. But then you just start talking about it, and you like people like yourself, Coach. We connected on social media, and it was like people out there get it, you know. And then it was a matter of just starting the conversation. The tricky part, though, Coach, is there's a $20 billion industry. You know, $20 billion youth sports industry that a lot of good people, but it's very easy to take information and use it in a negative way because you're talking about people's children. And parents want and will spend money when they think they're trying to help their kids. And a lot of times people prey on that. Some people do prey on that, you know? So that's kind of what I want to do is, you know, instead of so-and-so at this club saying this is the way to get a scholarship at Florida State, I said, I'm going to just get the coach at Florida State to tell me what he's looking for. Does that make any sense? And that's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah, that is awesome. So you mentioned John O'Sullivan, who is phenomenal. I'm going to get him on here and actually reading his book right now. Heath Esslinger does a lot of the same things.
Yeah, Heath too.
Yeah. So Heath's a good buddy of mine, but when you said soccer, I've thought about this for so many years. If you've ever traveled to other countries, right? Mm-hmm. Soccer is huge, like around the world. But what's funny is like, you know, we've been to my wife and I, we like the ocean and the sand, right? So when we've had opportunities, you know, we've saved up and gone to, you know, Jamaica, Bahamas, places like that, various places in Mexico. And you go down there, and you just see people playing soccer everywhere. Kids are out there running around barefooted with the ball playing soccer. It's one of the cheapest sports in the world to do, which is awesome, which is why anybody can do it anywhere, right? You need a ball. You can create something for a goal. But in America, it's crazy expensive.
It's a freaking country club sport, dude.
100%. So, okay, moving beyond that. Now, this is a broad, and I'm throwing this at you. This is broad, but just maybe some of the ones that pop off the top of your head. What are some of the lessons that you've learned through these interviews that we need to know? Maybe I'm a parent who's doing a nice job, or maybe I'm a parent who is caught up in the cycle and I'm buying my kids all these things and I have them as part of everything. And 6 nights a week, we're packed and my kid didn't even get to see his friends because he's playing sports or whatever. Right. So there's a spectrum, but what are some of the things that we can do as parents so that we don't get caught up in this? And we realize like, man, first off, sports should be really fun. Second, like I don't have to do all this. So in all these awesome interviews that you've done, what are a few of the lessons that just jump out at you, man?
There's a couple of different ways I can go with that. First thing that comes in my mind is I'm going to start with, you know, if I'm a parent who thinks I'm doing all the right stuff, I'm putting my kids in all these lessons and trying to do all these things. And I'm like, God, it costs so much, but I need to keep up because my kids, there's a FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. There's a legit case of that. People are afraid their kid's going to fall behind. So what I would say to you is, are you willing to trust the fact that 95, 99, 100% of the coaches that I've interviewed all say that, I mean, are you willing to trade short-term performance for long-term development? And what that means is, if you don't push your kid, if you push your kid too hard, there is a very strong likelihood they are going to fizzle out at a very, very, very young age. So are you willing to watch your kid? Now, some kids are naturally better than others at young ages. Some are a runt of the pack or a little bit smaller. Like I feel like I was a little bit of a late bloomer type thing. Are you willing to sit there and not worry about the present? And just like you said, have your kids in it for the right reasons, for fun, knowing that if this becomes their passion, they will in turn being the one say to you, hey, mom, dad, can we go outside and have a catch? Hey, mom, dad, I want to be able to go take batting practice. Can you help? Instead of us going, hey, let's go hit. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying to kid, hey, kid, you want to go play? You want to go have a catch? But going, hey, we need to go outside. We need to do work. We got to get in the grind. Man, I didn't want to do that as an 8-year-old, you know, 9-year-old, 10-year-old. Like, so, I mean, are you willing to realize it's not about you? Who are you? And it's hard, man. People don't want to look in the mirror. So the biggest takeaway is, parents, from all these interviews is, how can you separate and take a look at the circumstance and going, am I doing this for my kid? Or am I doing this so that I can kind of feel good about how my kid's doing? Like, who is it really about? You know, because if your kid's pulling at your leg, saying, mom, dad, I want to be on this team. I want to do this. Nomar Garcia Parr, who I did not interview, but I read this quote in a blog, said it best. And he's married to Mia Hamm, right? So here's Nomar, who was a multiple-time All-Star for the Red Sox. His wife's Mia Hamm, who's arguably the greatest American soccer player on the woman's side in history. Nomar's quote is, my kids love to eat cake, but I'm not going to give it to them every single meal of the day. I have to be the one as the parent to say no. So with that said, is just because our kid loves to play a sport, just because our kid loves to wrestle all year round, are we going to be the one to say, hey, we need to shut it down for a little bit. Maybe we need to take a month or two off and not compete. No one says you can't go get a run in or workout in, but like, you know, because we got to preserve your long-term. Because at the end of the day, there's got to be some sort of hunger to get back into something. Like you've got to have a little bit of separation. I think that goes in. We don't just work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You need to shut things down. So the biggest takeaway would be, if you're doing it and you're doing it for yourself as a parent, we have to be able to recognize that. Very tough to do. And secondly, if your kid is, you know, always on top of you at very young ages to do it, that's great. But we also can't be afraid to pull back the leash a little bit and say, hey, we need to take a little time off. Kids shouldn't be having Tommy John surgeries at 16 years old. And I'm speaking on baseball here, but 60% of the Tommy John surgeries happening today in the United States of America are happening between the ages of 15 and 17 or 15 and 18 years old, I believe. You know, I think it's either 16 to 18 or 15 to 18, which 35 years ago, that was a grown man surgery. Now it's a teenager surgery. And why is that? Well, it immediately ties back to overuse. Why is it overuse? Well, because kids are throwing a baseball all year long with high intent. You know, it's one thing to go out and just throw loosely and just take it easy. But to be out there intent training in tournaments in December, you got to be able to shut it down. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's preserving your bullets. And I think one of the biggest takeaways, the first thing that came to my head, is knowing when to say when and knowing that there's got to be a shutdown time, man. Kids got to stay hungry and they got to be in it for the long. If you want them to be in it for the long term, there's got to be breaks, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right on. And like you said, it's not just, you know, your thought process either. It's from literally interviewing and speaking with some of the highest level coaches and athletes from every single sport. And they
I don't mean to interrupt you. Tim Corbin, who's the most well-known name in college baseball, arguably head baseball coach at Vanderbilt, literally said in our podcast, it's on, you can find it on the site. He said, Nick, even at the college level, we take the ball and the bat away from our guys. We just do it because at 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, they cannot sustain for 12 months a year, you know, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect to get better. That the body and the brain need to decompress. And I mean, he's won, I think two or three national titles. I mean, he's the most well-respected guy out there. Why would he be saying that? You know, are they saying, people argue, yeah, coaches speak out of both sides of their mouth. Well, they're also recruit, like I get all that argument, but like you alluded to this before, there are year-round pressures, right? One sport does lead into the next. So we as parents got to be able to say, listen, I know, and it's hard because you get pressure from the club that says, hey, if you don't play in our team this fall, I can't promise you a spot in the spring.
Yeah.
You know what I say to that club? I'm going to go find a new club. You know what I mean? That's it. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry, my kid's not playing here. And that's a tough decision to have to make sometimes. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's 100% right on right there. So, okay. Favorites. Give me a couple of your favorites, man. So, you know, you've got to interview these because I love getting to podcasts. I love getting to interview guys like you. I'm getting other perspectives. I'm getting knowledge and wisdom. Man, you've got to interview some just absolute amazing people. What are a couple of the favorites that you have and why? Just a couple of takeaways from, you know, from, let's just say, two or three of them.
So well, there's one that's being released on January 5th that your audience is going to dig, that hasn't come out yet. The interview's done, but it's Jordan Burroughs. And it is freaking phenomenal, dude. You want to hear someone who's passionate about the subject? Dude, he's awesome. And he gets into the whole participation trophy thing that he just came out with. And I don't know if you remember, he went on a big kind of rant speaking, but he's been speaking about youth sports, advocating for that for years now, you know, talking about college coaches aren't there. That one comes out January 5th. It's not even edited yet. It's going to be getting edited next week. It's phenomenal. Jordan is off the charts passionate. Tim Corbin, he was episode one. We get into everything. Tim Corbin is a wealth of knowledge. And then we have one this Wednesday coming up. Is Anson Dorrance, who is the head women's soccer coach for the University of North Carolina, was Mia Hamm's coach, has won 21 of 22 NCAA and national titles. I mean, he's up there with, you know, Dan Gable, you know, type thing. John Wooden, as far as the winningest coaches in the history of sports. And Coach Dorrance, and you'll see all of these gentlemen, even Jordan, but let's focus on the coaches real quick, and I'll get into Jordan. Tim Corbin and Anson Dorrance, arguably two of the biggest names in sports. What are they advocating for? Sampling sports multiple at a young age. No one advocates for kids specializing at young ages. They all say and all agree the data and everything suggests from their experience, their best athletes, the ones who stay in it, the ones who have the highest ceiling are the ones who sample different things, who had more in the tank when they got to college and they finally went all in on wrestling. All of a sudden their ceiling had more upside. You know, it was all advocate, play different sports. You're more versatile. You're more agile. You're going to get to, you know, wrestle, do anything, like do everything because your body's going to become stronger. Jordan Burroughs talked about how, you know, he tried everything as a kid, was playing football. Obviously, when he got to high school, he was a smaller guy. He's like, you know, I was the best at wrestling. I locked in at that point. But at a young age, he was trying everything. And now him as a sports parent, he talks about how he's too introducing his kids to all these different things. And he struggles, man. He talks about it in the podcast on the 5th. He talks about, like, it's going to be – he goes to wrestling practice, sitting there watching his son, who's – or I think son or daughter doing it now. It's like, man, it's tough. Like, wrestling's a tough sport. Like, I don't blame my kid for not wanting to go to practice sometimes. Like, you know, it's – so it's really interesting perspective when you hear these people at the highest level talk about their experiences in it. So You know, there's several others that are posted, but I would think those three really stand out to me. When Jordan's is released, I think people are going to really dig it, especially your audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Jordan is, you know, anybody that follows him on social media knows the guy's, you know, he's incredibly intelligent. Not only is he one of the best wrestlers in history, but very intelligent, very well spoken. And I can't wait for his book to come out. Right. And I know he's kind of mentioned it before, but for me as a wrestling fan and a coach, I'm like, this guy is going to write a book and it's going to be phenomenal. I know he will someday. He's going to be able to do that because his communication skills are just, they're great. He's good with words. That's what I'm trying to say. But with Jordan, I like it because he holds such a big platform, right? So when he comes out and says like participation trophies are a good thing, immediately there's people all over the spectrum. But it's funny because I've always agreed with that. And we're not getting into that too deep. But here's what I know as a coach, as a parent, whatever you want more of, that's what you should praise and that's what you should reward, right? So if a kid does a sport a whole season and they were dedicated and they were going to practice, let's just say they're young and they went to practice twice a week or whatever, and they went and competed a little bit, at the end of the season, I don't care if you guys have an end of the season tournament or whatever, let's say it's soccer or baseball, you know, I don't care if they won that tournament or what they placed, but at the end of the season, if we give the kid a trophy, awesome. Hey, buddy, guess what, man? You just like did a whole season of going to practice every single week and going out there and having fun and staying dedicated and learning the sport. Dude, you should get rewarded, right? I want to reward things that I want to see later on in life. Can any of us benefit from being consistent? Absolutely. Can we benefit from being dedicated? Absolutely. So these are like principles that apply to everything. So anyway, I don't want to get in that too deep, and I can't wait to listen to you know, the interview and to hear you guys talk about that. But Jordan he's a great guy. Coach Anson, is that the correct name, right, for soccer?
Anson Dorrance, yeah.
Anson Dorrance, yes.
University of North Carolina. He's awesome, man. Yeah, that's
I've read about him a little bit.
Yeah, that'll be live on Wednesday, 2 days from now. And then no, just go through them. My goal is to get perspective from all sports, you know, and why is that? People say, why is it? Because I want to show that each sport crosses over. And regardless if it's wrestling or whether it's baseball or whatever, basketball, doesn't matter, track and field. Like, there's a reason why coaches speak the same language, man. In many instances, it may sound a little bit differently from the perspective, but ultimately, you know, it's about developing the whole person. The best coaches aren't just trying to win championships. The championships are a byproduct of trying to create good human beings, man. And that's another thing that I've heard. And some people say that's eyewash, right? That's crap. You know, I don't buy that, man. I think the ones who win the most are the ones that are impacting the most lives in a positive way. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. You know, if we look at Akel Sanderson, that guy, I mean, who knows what all they do in their program. There's a lot of things that are a little bit secretive in their program, but I can tell you this, they have an incredible culture and they are all about developing great human beings. And they are putting out the most quality wrestlers that we've ever seen in the U.S. Right. And I don't think those things are a coincidence, you know, whenever you look at them. And it's funny. So I've long believed in kids trying multiple sports. And then at some point, if they want to specialize, let's say they, you know, they're junior in high school and they realize, you know, like, hey, I'm 130 pounds. Wrestling's probably going to be my thing. I'm probably not going to be a D1 linebacker, right? I'm 130 pounds or whatever. So then that makes sense. But now as a dad getting to see it. So my oldest son, he's 9. He loves soccer. He's been playing soccer since he was like 4 when they do like herd ball, when they all just chase the ball around and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
It's cute and it's fun. But he loves it. And he like walks around the house, like watching like YouTube videos of soccer players. He can tell me who all these guys are. And again, I don't know anything about soccer. So I'm just like, oh, that's great, son. But he was a little bit timid as far as like getting in there and mixing it up in soccer. And so last year we started flag football. And I say we, cause I got talked into being a coach. I don't want to coach any of my kids' sports, to be honest with you. And coaching is my profession. It's what I do. And so I had a guy that runs it and he said, hey, heard your kids are coming out for flag football. And I said, yeah. And he said, will you coach? And I was like, man, put me down as an assistant or something. I'll help out, but I do not want to be a head coach. I don't have time for it. My wife and I are both coaches. And he's like, okay. the next week he like emails out a list to all the parents. And he's got me the head coach of two grade levels. I'm like, dude, like I literally don't have the time. And he is like, man, I was like, oh, I promise I'll get you some help. And long story short, thankfully I had a dad that took over one grade level and I stayed with the other one. And it was so fun, man. I coached football for years and I stepped down a few years ago, but I coached middle school football for years, which was one of the funnest things I've ever done. And I love football, right? If I was bigger, I'd probably been playing college football. But anyway, so my son goes out and he plays flag football and he's a really fast little guy. And he's small. He's smaller than all the other kids, but really fast. He scores lots of touchdowns every game. And his confidence starts to rise in this flag, but there's still some contact. You still run into kids. And
sure.
So all of a sudden I take him to soccer practice after we've had a couple of flag football games and he's mixing it up a little bit. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And he's getting in there and he's not afraid to get the ball. And all of a sudden he's like being aggressive. And I've never seen that from him. That's not his personality. And he's jumped levels in soccer, but I promise it's because he played flag football.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, and as a PE teacher, I teach PE. I see these kids that are soccer players when they come in and they're good at every stinking sport we do. And I think it's because their footwork is so good and they're fast, but they're like good at every sport. So I'm a huge proponent of, man, when you're younger, play lots of things. It only adds to your athletic ability. And then at some point, if you decide to specialize, cool. But man, you're going to be better off because you did these other things 100%. So anyway, the couple little stories there went along with what you're saying that I'm getting to see not only from the coach perspective, but now from a dad perspective, which is pretty fun as well.
Well, that's another point you asked before the interviews. The consensus is, and it's like across the board, every coach I've ever interviewed, and especially between, and that there's studies that have been done by the Aspen Institute and a few others, I believe, that between the ages of 7 to 13, so really pre-puberty, that is when you should be sampling as much as you possibly can, play as many sports as you can. It's, you know, obviously, if you can play them through high school, great. But especially in those pre-puberty years, because your body's developing so much, then you get to be a freshman, sophomore, high school, you want to lock in and, you know, you want to go playing. I totally get that. But they say to build the best body and skill set, like you said, it's those pre-puberty years. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So from a moving away from the parent side and those type of things, I want to ask you real quick, you know, you're podcasting, you're putting these things out, you do marketing. What are some, because we also have a lot of business people that listen to this podcast as well. Mm-hmm. And I say this every single podcast, but principles are principles. They apply everywhere. Once you know them, you can apply them in different places. What are some of the principles that you learned as an athlete and then maybe as a coach that you now apply to your everyday life? So some of the lessons you learned that allow you to be great at podcasting and running your business.
The will to compete, man. The will to compete, resilience. You know, I think the biggest thing that I learned is I went through, I was the best player, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then what happens in baseball, the fields grow. The fields, you go from these little Mickey Mouse sized fields, right? And then all of a sudden, when you're like 13, you're playing on a major league sized baseball field. And I was a catcher. And all of a sudden, I couldn't reach second base. So like I'm a catcher trying to throw out runners. I didn't grow. The fields grew and I didn't. And that was hard, man. When you're a young teenager and you're your buddies are busting your chops and you feel like you suck, and kids that you know are that you feel like you're better than or doing better than you because they're bigger and stronger. And I worked through that. Now, a lot of that can be my brothers played a big role in that, you know, helping me with, hey, stay in the fight, stay competitive and just keep fighting. But going through the struggles, the adversity, you know, not being going to college and, you know, not starting as a freshman, you know, not starting. Like, I think I got 25 at bats. I did get 25 at bats my freshman year. Now, we were a College World Series team, but I paid my dues. Like I was an all-state baseball player in high school. I was, you know, the best player on my team. We won a state championship. I go to college and I'm riding the pine my freshman year, which was, quite frankly, I was actually, I don't want to say comfortable with it because I earned the opportunity to start, but I was so freaking nervous I blew it. Like I wasn't ready, quite frankly, in my mind. I was young and I just was not ready. So I ended up earning the starting position my sophomore year and then kept it. But, you know, having to work through struggle, and that is translated more to business than any, especially because I've always been in sales and marketing, hyper-competitive environment, worked in New York City for a long time. And what I have always noticed is I'm willing to, and a lot of this is just intrinsic, but if you think about the things that you struggled through, and I also noted this, I mean, you don't have to come from an athletic background to be competitive as hell, man. I met some dudes who are just ultra competitive, but it's the ability to compete that you learn through sport, that you learn through failure, that you learn through struggle, and the resilience. So I feel like all these old cliches of get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I feel like that helps me in my marriage. Like, because there's so much adjusting you have to do. It's not about me. You know, when you have kids, there's so many things that adjust. Their schedules constantly change. There's so much discomfort. And I think through sports, through pushing yourself, through challenges, through trials and tribulations, while they are very uncomfortable at the moment, they don't seem like they're beneficial. When you get older, you look back on those and you go, holy cow, I've been here before.
Yeah.
So, you know, like a lot of people, I'm sure it's an old cliche, but I'm extremely grateful for all the struggles. But I, you know, at the same time, I'm extremely grateful for the successes. I'm the ability to adapt as well. Like to the ability to go from a person who was the best player to having to be a role player, then to go into a different role, to be a leader, to be a captain, to be a best. Like all these, wearing these different hats, the versatility, they play off so much in the real world, because that's just the way it is. You got to be able to pivot. You got to be able to adapt. So I would never have been able to function, I don't think, as well and probably as young as I did without my sports experience, which is why it's so imperative, I believe, to, at times, there is a place to celebrate participation. I mean, there is. Especially at the very, 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 very young ages, because you never know what lesson that kid's going to learn that's going to help him be a better father, be a better uncle, be a better coach, whatever the hell it is. So, you know, that's my thoughts on that one.
That's excellent. You know, I've often thought that sports are just a microcosm of life, but the thing is, they're really a safe place to be able to learn these lessons. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt, right? Whenever you don't win a state championship and you put in a ton of time to get there and it doesn't happen, it's painful. You know, there are lots of things that are truly painful emotionally and, of course, physically, because sports, you can get hurt, those type of things. But ultimately, it's a pretty safe place to learn a lot of these lessons, because once you become an adult, there's not the safety net. It's not just the scoreboard, right? It's real life. But because you have gone through these things, like you said, there's a point where like, I've been here before, and you understand how to push through it emotionally. You understand how to push through it physically, mentally, those type of things. So that is excellent. Okay. So I want to ask you just a couple of like quick hitter questions here. All right. First off, if we were to, and of course we know it's going to be your wife, but maybe a couple other people, who are the starred contacts in your phone, man, those people you can always turn to and why?
Wow. The starred contacts in my phone. I mean, that are not my immediate family. Is that what you're asking? Someone other than my, because if I need something, if I have a question on Reform Sports Project, I would, the first person I'm going to reach out to is Peter Carlisle. He's my, some people may hear his name and go, oh, wow. Most people won't. He's Michael Phelps' agent. He's Simone Biles' agent. He is my main partner from Octagon. He's been, I say the word harassed. He threatened to block me like 3 or 4 times for 2 years. And I just would not stop. I would like stop for half a day and then keep going. And he finally, you know, he finally was like, Nick, we're in, let's do it. And he partnered with me. But Peter Carlisle, man, he's the man. I look up to him a lot. I'm really grateful for our partnership. And then guy like Mike Fox, you know, Mike Fox, head baseball coach, former University of North Carolina, Scott Forbes, who's the current head baseball coach, University of North Carolina, Tim Corbin. I text coach, here's Tim Corbin. He probably sits at the highest chair in college baseball today. I send him a text. He's getting back to me as quickly as possible with any way he can. Coach, can you connect me to this person? Absolutely, Nick. Always willing to help someone who's trying to help the greater good. Just trying to think of any other. I mean, there's a bunch, but I mean, those are the ones that really, really, really stand out to me that would at the drop of a dime. Jack Leggett, Jack Leggett, Coach Leggett, longtime coach from at Clemson University baseball. He's a Hall of Famer at Clemson. Has done a ton for us. Is on our advisory board. Ben Askren, you know, Ben Askren has been someone who's been very, very, very helpful. You know, I was able to interview him a few times, and he's been on our advisory board from the beginning. Ben's freaking awesome. I know he's a crypto savage now, and he's you know, he's doing tons of other things. But his club, man, he does a lot of good, man. He tries to help a lot of kids, and he's a youth sports advocate as well. So he's someone that I would definitely, in the heart, drop of a dime, send him a text, or and I know I can get some really good feedback from him as well.
Excellent. Yeah. I like to hear those, man, because for one thing, shout out to all those guys. You know, those are people that are positively impacting your life and then impacting the greater good, you know.
Yeah, so, no doubt. It's a good question.
Yeah. All right, next one. And you can answer all three of these, or you can just pick one, expound upon them as much as you want. All right, I want you to tell me about a hero, a hardship, or a highlight in your life. Hero, hardship, highlight, or a little of each.
A hero, hardship, or highlight. A hero being a person, a hardship being a struggle, and a highlight being a highlight. Hero, hardship, or highlight. How the hell do I answer this? I'm going to pick highlight, and I'm going to pick two of them because they are so impactful in my life. And I have text threads with these dudes that, I hope will never end. And they are one, I was on a state championship winning team my senior year of high school with a bunch of guys that we grew up with from the time we were 8, 9, 10 years old. 1997 Sacred Heart High School won the Class S state championship in Connecticut, man. I've never had more fun, pure joy of fun. Like people would say, I would go back in time. I'd go back in time if I could for a brief moment and just relive the week and a half of the state tournament that we had. It's so much fun. The bus rides, just the joy of the whole experience. And then when we won the 1999 North Carolina Wesleyan, we won the Division III National Championship. I got a text thread with half of our team on it, and it keeps growing. And I mean, the dividends, and they say why, you know, it's not even about the championships and it's about the dividends that you get from being a part of that experience,
yeah.
You know, that have served me in my entire life. You know, we talk, you know, when I'm on the text thread with my boys, like we don't even talk about the game, none of the games. We talk about like the jokes. We talk about the bus rides, how, you know, this one got tied up and stuff. You know, we talk about the hotel rooms, the wrestling matches in hotel rooms. We talk about all the goofy stuff that we did when we were young kids competing and having a great time, the camaraderie. And those are the most valuable, those relationships, right? Those relationships are the most valuable part to me of the sport experience that, you know, God willing, I'll be able to, you know, I go see some of these guys. I don't see them for 25 years and we see each other at an alumni event, or, you know, we haven't seen each other. And it's like we saw each other yesterday, you know? So those highlights are great, but the relationships that come through that whole experience, because they encompass everything you amend. I have heroes from that. I have, you know, struggles from that, you know, that all can be, I could talk about it for hours. So that would be my answer to that.
Excellent. That's, I mean, it's so right on. So relationships, I think, is the number one thing for me as a coach. It's my number one thing. I'll have these kids that were multi-time state champions that come back and in the room and we're talking, and they don't even talk about that. They never talk about winning state titles. They're the same thing. They're talking about this. We take Suburbans a lot of places. They'll talk about the Suburban rides and the hotel stays and all the camaraderie, all the goofy stuff. They'll talk about the super hard practices sometimes. Like, oh man, remember that day? Like you got mad, you about killed us in there and all this stuff. They don't even talk about winning the state titles. So that's one of the beautiful things about sports too, man. And I think it all ties back in. As a parent, you want your kids to be able to experience those things. Do you want the most success for them? Yes. But dude, just because they're 9 years old and they won one of the 75 national championship tournaments that are out there right now, because used to be there was a couple of them. Now there's like 17 different World Series going on in the same week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So all that stuff, man, like I have boxes of trophies and medals from my wrestling career. They're literally like in storage in my basement. Some people hang those up and I think it's cool looking. none of that was even like what mattered, man. I remember my first college tournament that I won, that I got won a college tournament, and they gave us a t-shirt. And I remember being like, what is this? Like, you got a t-shirt, not a medal. And then I put it on. I'm like, dude, this is the best prize I've ever had. Like, I get to wear a t-shirt guy. Like, I would go ride a bull for a free t-shirt probably.
You know?
So, all right, coach. Well, and I'm going to call you coach because, you know, that's what you're doing, man. Nick, you're coaching up the parents, you're coaching up the athletes, you're coaching up people like me, which is why I follow all your social media sites. You may not be out there coaching like a specific team, right? And you might be coaching one of your kids' teams. I don't know. But you're coaching us all up on a higher level, man. And so for me, like, that's one of the greatest things that you do. And if you're a leader, you better have somebody pouring into your life and coaching you up, right? If you're a pastor of a church, if you're a head coach of a team, if you're a CEO of a business, and it comes from multiple places. It may come from a personal relationship you have, but also can come from external sources. So for me, I get coached up by the things that you post. So I want to tell you, thank you for that.
Oh my God. That's very humbling, man. And same to you. You got a platform that you built from scratch and it's coming from your heart and your passion. So I appreciate you saying that. And I'm grateful for you doing the work you're doing because you're highlighting these wonderful things too, man. And you know, it's, I'm just grateful to have been able to be a part of it.
Yes, sir. Now, where can we find you on social media, your website, those type of things? And I'll have all those show notes as well.
So we have our website is reformsportsproject.com. You can find, you know, everything about Reform Sports Project. You'll find a link to our podcast as well. You can follow us on Twitter, Reform, it's REFORMED, Reform SPT. PROJ. You can follow me at Nick_Bonacore. You can follow us on Instagram at Reformed_Sports Project. And man, we just putting out as much content as possible. And you know, the key with it is this is what I kind of want to make sure people understand, and it'll all come to fruition here soon. But the podcast is just like what we'd like to consider the low-hanging fruit. We hope to be able to continue to evolve the platform and be it, you know, want to be able to be the ones that you need information on any subject in youth and amateur sports. We want to be able to be that place that you come to and be able to get, you know, as much feedback and help as you can possibly get to help make your experience as a parent, as an athlete, as a coach, you know, be able to be a tool in your toolkit. So keep on the lookout, keep following us, and, you know, we'll keep pushing it out.
Amazing. Love it. And thank you so much for being on, Nick. It's been an honor, man.
Coach, I appreciate you, man. Shout out. Keep up the great work.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody. Been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Until next time, we're out. Hey, guys, I want to encourage you to go over to bostonscally.com. If you wear scally caps, aka flat caps, apple caps, whatever you call them, whatever part of the country you're in, Boston Scally has the absolute best, hands down, quality, culture, and blue-collar work ethic, baby. Blue-collar mentality. That's what they're all about at Boston Scally. They also have fresh t-shirts, hoodies, things like that. But really, man, if you're rocking the Scally cap, go over and get one. Each one has its own story, and they all connect back to culture. So for me, whenever I'm rocking the Scally, I only go with bostonscally.com. And if you're going to order, be sure to use the code COACHP to get yourself a 15% discount. bostonscally.com.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.